Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, we want to run over this morning. Fill us up. Fill us up. Fill us up. We want to run. We want to run over this morning, Lord God, over with your grace and your mercy and your love, your patience, your kindness, Lord God, your power. Fill us up with belief and trust in you, Lord God, like never, ever before. Fill us up. Let us overflow. Father, we just thank you right now, Lord God, for the fellowship that's already taken place. We thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. We thank you for the music of worship, Lord God. Hallelujah. That we've all taken part in, Lord God. We thank you for that, Lord. Now, as your word go forth, Lord God, let it set in the hearts and the minds of your people. Let something be said, Lord God, that'll make a difference in their walk. In their walk with you. And in their level of belief and trust in you. Open their eyes, Lord God. Hallelujah. To the power that you've made available to us. Let us see. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Hallelujah. Shake somebody's hand as you sit down today. Hallelujah. Thank you, music team. Hallelujah. Audio video team. Hallelujah. Brother Brown, can you guys pull up the words to that second song, you know, about God of the City without the music? You put the music on, we're going to dance. So just the music. Can you do that? Am I asking for the wrong thing? Hallelujah. Praise God. God is a good God. You know, when we were singing that song, God said, hallelujah. Let these folks know who they are. Let them know what it's all about. Hallelujah. Bye, Jesse. Hallelujah. God is a good God all the time. We're just going to wait till they pull it up. Hallelujah. We're not in a big hurry. Hallelujah. I'm looking for the frame that says God of the City. Just that one frame. I want to get the exact words there that the author of that song put down on paper. Hallelujah. There's nobody in a hurry here today, right? Hallelujah. Don't you want to see something different happen in your life? Hallelujah. You know, I almost hate for this thing to end. I know that all things come to an end. And all of us, unless the rapture comes here first, we all going to take our last breath. And that's okay. That's really okay. We don't have to be in a hurry to do that. But it's going to happen. Audio video team, if that's a challenge, let me know. Hallelujah. When they finish that song, they just it kind of goes into the archive and kind of pull it back up. But I tell you, I'm not going to charge them for this training. I'm going to just let them just go on and do it. Hallelujah. God is a good God. You know, God's got so much for us, folks. Amen. All right? You're not just here by accident. You're not just here by accident. You know, yesterday I don't know where we were coming from somewhere yesterday. And I'm just looking around, and it seemed like every other block we travel on, there was a church. Go to the frame that talks about, not that one, go to the next one. Now I'm going to come back to my, now go to the next one. Go to the next one. Yeah, right. Yep. Going too fast. Go to the next one. Well, the last line talks about God of the City. Right there. Right there. Right there. Right there. But when we were passing all these places, we found all these churches, Christian churches. Now, I'm assuming they're Christian churches. They didn't say anything else. You know, they have names. You know, we give them names. But, you know, most of them don't say Christian, you know, but we know that they're Christian churches. I'm saying, Lord God, with these many churches, there should be so much righteous power in the environment. Hallelujah, that the devil won't have a chance. This particular slide says, for greater things are yet to come, and greater things are still to be done in Ahoskie. Come on now. In Ahoskie, in Windsor, in Winton's, in Murfreesboro. Greater things have yet to come. You've done it's some big thing. Now, I got here in 1986, listen, and I've seen such a change. Amen. In this area in the 37 years that I've been here, you know. So God has done some great things in the area. But he says, and greater things are still to be done in this city. Well, if greater things are still to be done in this city, who is God going to use to do it through? Hello? You think he's going to do it through the pastors? Well, in that case, I don you all pastors. You can go around and say, I'm Pastor Stewart. That don't bother me. And I know they're going to bother God. Amen? But God wants to do it through you. Greater things that's ever been done through you. Today we're going to be talking about the gift of miracles and the working of miracles today. But I want you to make sure you understand that God needs somebody to work these miracles through. He does. And you've got to get above thinking of titles. God's not into titles. He's into assignments. He'll assign you different things, but God don't get happy and high because somebody got some sort of titles. He wants to use you. He wants to use you. If you remember the story of Samuel being told by God to go to David's father's house and anoint somebody to be the next king. And Samuel went through all the obvious choices by sight. But then Samuel said, no, the next king is not here. He said, do you have any other sons? And David's daddy said, yeah, I've got one more, you know. And I know what he was thinking. I got one more, but you're not probably here for him. He's the youngest one, and he's just a little shepherd boy. All he do is run around and try to keep up with these little animals all day long. Because David's dad wasn't thinking like God. And most of us don't think like God at all. But I'm here to tell you today, listen, if you're hearing the sound of my voice and you want to let God use you, then you're qualified. You are qualified for miracles to start taking place in your life. The working of miracles. You're qualified to start speaking things that's not in existence, in existence. But we've been caught up so long in traditional worship service, church, which is all right, but there's more to it. We've been caught up in that so long, we think that's all to it. And God said, no. I want them to understand these gifts that my servants are talking about. I meant them for them. And I want to use them through them. Now, today, once again, we're going to be talking about the gift of miracles. Hallelujah. As I was singing it, I was thinking about a couple things that came about. I remember... You know, I got a lot of story. Hallelujah. God is good, though. But he's been good to me. I remember when Sister Eva and I got married, and God had given me a job, but the job didn't start till after the honeymoon. It didn't really start there, but it was going to be a job that could take care of us. So Sister Eva and I went on a honeymoon for a week, and we left the kids behind. You know, because we just wanted that time for ourselves. But then we went back and we got the kids and we brought them on a vacation for a week. And we realized, hey, you know, we didn't spend all the money. I said to Eva one night, she said, we spent the money, honey. And we realized that we didn't really have anything to go back to just meet our needs until the job start the next week or the week after, whatever. And just to do that, but I said, don't worry about it. I said, we're going to have some money when we get back. So it's going to be fine. And we got back, and there was a $500 check. You remember that, Sister Eva? There was a $500 check in the mailbox that we hadn't expected from nobody. None at all. We cashed that check. But we had spoke it. Or I had spoke. Amen? Said, no, don't worry about that. There'll be some money there for us when we get back. You know, it'll be enough to take care of us till my job starts and that kind of stuff. Amen. You know, you'd be surprised the power that's inside you. But see what happens when challenges come into our lives, the devil have us speak the negative things, not understanding the power. Oh, this marriage ain't going to work. We're going to wind up getting divorced. Whoop, you said it. The power of your mind. Oh, that boy, that girl, they ain't going to be no good. Boom, you said it. You said it. You said it. I remember another time, not too long ago, when we had some project we were working on, some things. We said, well, look, listen, I'm tired of this particular bill. I said, I'd like to just pay this thing off. I said, I'm gonna just believe God to pay this thing off. And I just didn't bother with it. But a few weeks later, we got another check for $12,000 more than what we had invested in a small project. And we were expecting it, but we were expecting it 3 to 5 years later. But because we said it, things turned around for that company all of a sudden. And we wind up getting $12,000 to pay off that bill that we had. Amen. God is good, isn't he?
Yes, he is good.
Listen, you don't understand who we all are.
Amen.
You say, well, I've just decided I'm going to be good. I'm going to stop doing this. I'm going to stop doing that. I'm going to stop doing this. I'm going to stop doing that. And I'm going to church. No, you got to start seeing beyond that. You got to, hallelujah. Christ now lives inside you. Remember Christ? Everybody remember Christ, right?
Amen.
You remember what he did while he was here on planet Earth in the natural? In the natural? In the natural. Mama come up to him and say, hey, look. They had a wedding. He said, hey, look, they're about to run out of wine. You know, back then, that was a big deal. Mama had confidence. Mama knew. Did Jesus start making wine, getting some grapes? No, he said, go get the jugs, 30-gallon jugs. Go get them. What was he doing? He was just calling that in. Just calling it in. And before you know it, they had 3 or 4 or 5 big 30 gallons of wine, better than what they had before.
Amen.
Hallelujah. This was Jesus in the flesh. You in the flesh. If you don't know you're in the flesh, pinch yourself. Disciple come up to him and say, look, see people, you know, there's a whole bunch of folks out here at this parade. He said, look, they're hungry. Why don't we send them home? Jesus said, no, let them sit down on the ground in the grass. And then he said, what you got? And they told him what he had, a couple of loaves of bread and a few fish. And basically he just said, be multiplied. Be multiplied. And then because of what he said and the power that was in him, they set these 5,000 men plus, everybody say plus. Plus women and children. There's always more women and children than the men. And they all was fed. No Subway in sight. No Burger King in sight. How'd he do that? How'd he do that? It's that power's inside of him. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, listen. The same power that was demonstrated by Christ is now inside of all believers. That's why it's so important to get saved. Don't just go grab religion. Get saved. What he said, listen, Jesus out of his own mouth, he said, listen to me. He said, greater things than you've seen here. You'll be able to do it. But you won't ever do it unless you believe it's possible. And I don't mean just head believe. I mean really believe that it's possible. That it, oh my God, hallelujah, that is possible.
Amen.
But once you start believing that, your whole life change.
Yes.
That's why I make statements. Listen, that's why I make statements like I'll never be poor. I'll never be broke another day in my life. It's not because I'm arrogant. It's not because I'm rich. Listen, but because I understand. Are you with me? I understand and I believe with all my heart that when the barrel get low, I can say, get higher. Are you with me?
Amen.
Get higher. I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that if there's a need, I can say, be met.
Amen.
And walk away and don't worry about it no more. Mm-hmm. Be met and walk away. See, before salvation, I'd be trying to figure it out, staying up all night, listen, calling everybody. But now you can just say, be met, and mean it. It's not just the words. You've got to get to a place where there's enough faith. Faith come by
hearing.
And hearing by
the word of God.
Yeah, that's why you've got to get with God in his word through prayer and through studying and meditating on his word and getting that word in you to where the word becomes you and you become the word, to where you just move. You just move. God is a good God. Does that mean I'll never have problems again? No, that doesn't mean that. But it means that you'll know how to handle the problems. Amen? When they come, you can say, so what? When I had colon cancer, you've heard my stories a lot. When I had colon cancer, I was saying, so what? My wife didn't understand why I was so calm about it. I said, so what? God will tell us what to do. And then I had prostate cancer. And I said, so what? God's going to tell us what to do. And it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. And you know, when I had cancer surgery, the doctors, you know, they're just doing their job. They tell you, okay, you're going to have to wear this bag. And it's going to, you know, be attached to your leg. And I said, no way. I ain't going to need that. And they look at you like, he think he knows something. But I did know something. Amen? I know that there's a God. And I know that he's given us power. Are you with me? He's given us power, and it's time now. Come on. To rise up. To rise up and be the result or be the cause of the city in which you're living in changing. Amen. Becoming greater through the things that you do. It's time, listen, right here in a Husky, let's just grab a Husky. Right here in a Husky, it's time for those that's in this room to speak to a Husky and say, businesses, rise up.
Amen.
Rise up.
Yes.
But instead we say, oh, there's so many business closing. Because that's what we see. But oh, if we ever got on one accord. Hallelujah. We can do it individually, but there's something about us coming together and believing God.
Amen.
Just believing God. God is a good God all the time. Stop letting the devil just take your little glory. Stop letting him take your whatever it is that he's taken away from you. Stop doing that. Stop doing that. Come on, stop doing that. What's the use of a child? Listen to me now. What's the use of a poor child? 6 years old, come on, being adopted by a billionaire if all they're going to eat is Vienna sausages every day. You say, well, you left over here in these slums to come over here and live in a palace. Listen, and all you eating is Vienna sausages because you think that's all you can have. Don't you know where you're at? And that question applies to us. Don't you know who you are? Why are you worried about that? Why don't you speak to that, whatever that is? Speak to it. What needs to change? Speak to it. Husband and wife, they know you're going around here fussing and fighting. Speak to the marriage. I command you in the mighty name of Jesus to line up with the will, the way, and the word of God for our marriage. And then go to sleep. Go to sleep. Just go to sleep and do what God has told you to do. He told husband to love your wife like Christ loved the church. And he told his wife, the wife, to submit to the husband. Just do your part. But once you speak it, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Well, you don't know. He said or she said they're going to leave. They're going to leave next week. So what? They said that. You say something. You say something. Come on.
Amen.
If you're understanding what I'm saying, say amen here today. Hallelujah. You can cause miracles to take place in your life. Hallelujah. And God will give you the words. He'll give you what to do and what to say. He really will. Today we want to look at the gift of working of miracles. I want to take you back to 1 Corinthians 12 where those gifts are listed again, because all of them are important to us. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting with the 8th verse, goes like this. For to one is given the Spirit, by the Spirit rather, the word of wisdom, when you need wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Now verse 10 says, to another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, divers kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these gifts work it, that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will, as who will, as God will, as the Spirit will. Hallelujah. God is a good God all the time. For as the body is what? One, and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. The working of miracles, brothers and sisters, is a supernatural intervention. Intervention in the ordinary course of nature, such as Elisha dividing a river by the sweep of a mantle. Hallelujah. You know, Elijah had been taken up, but his mantle fell down to Elisha. And Elisha took that mantle and he went to that river and he smote that river. And he said, where is the God of Elijah? What was he saying? He was telling that river to open up. He was saying, you river, you do what you did for Elijah. Amen. He spoke it. And he hit that water with that mantle, and the water opened up. That's a miracle, folks. Amen. That's a miracle. What miracle do you need today? What do you need today? What? There's too many of God's people running around here whimpering and crying and because they've got lack in their lives or because something's not going right. You know, God's not that kind of God. I want to take you, and I'm going to give you some scripture today. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9 through 14. This is where he gets that mantle. And I want to just show it to you. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I shall do for you, Elisha, before I be taken away from you. And Elisha said, I pray thee, listen, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. Now, if you read the word of God, you'll find out that Elisha did twice as many miracles as Elijah did when he was on planet Earth. He asked for it. He said, let me have a double portion of it. In verse 10, and he said, you have asked a hard thing, Elisha. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so unto you. But if not, it shall not be so. He was saying you can have it. And I'm standing up here today telling you, you can have it. You can have it. You can have it. See, when you get to this point where you really believe this, money, you'll realize that money is not, it's never been the issue. Never, ever. If you don't have enough money, you think your problems could be taken care of by money. But listen to me, money has never been a problem for God. Never. Absolutely never. Never, ever, ever. Never. But we just got to trust God and believe God. Verse 11, and it came to pass, everybody say it came to pass. It came to pass. As they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and a horses of fire and parted them both asunder. It came between them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Verse 12, and Elisha saw it. He said, if you hear when it happens, you can ask for what you want. But when we see right here in verse 12, it says Elisha saw it, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, hallelujah, and he cried, my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. He was gone. And he took hold of his own clothes and he rent them in two pieces. Now look at verse 13. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him. And what did he do with it? He went back. And he stood by the banks of Jordan. He's cocky now. He's got some faith. He believes he can do it. He can believe he can do it. I'm believing that after today, you will go speak to your situation. If you got an empty refrigerator, speak to it. He said, oh, I know that preacher crazy now. Speak to it. Speak to it. Call it full. Whatever the situation is. Hallelujah. And he went back, he took up the mantle, and he went back to the banks of Jordan. And verse 14 says, and he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and he hit the waters. And he said, here it is, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had also had smitten the waters opened up. They parted hither and thither. And Elisha just went over on dry ground. Hallelujah. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine opening up the Chuan River so you can walk across to the other side? Can you imagine how you're feeling? Come on. You've touched that water. You've caused it. You've caused it through a miracle of God. You've caused it to open up, and now you're walking on it. How you feeling? Oh, my God. There's no problem that's going to face you after that, that you're going to buckle down to. No. No, and the devil knows that. That's why he don't want us to experience that. That's why he don't want us to believe that. That's why he don't want us to believe that. Listen, the power of Jesus Christ is inside of us. We be asking God to give us the power, and God is saying, I've done that. You just don't know it's there. Come on. And you just don't have the faith to receive it. Does God gives us this ability so that we can have a big head and we can have a bunch of stuff? No. Listen, God wants his children to live well, and he wants the whole world to see it. He wants the whole world to see the power of him operating through you. But if you never believe God and these gifts and these powers never manifest themselves in your life, you're denying not only yourself, but the people around you. When Elisha showed up doing these kind of things, let me tell you something. Don't you know everybody around him was saying, oh, my God. Oh, my God. The same anointing that was on Elijah is now on Elisha. Don't you know that a lot of people's lives will change? What are you waiting for? To step out and believe God. What are you waiting for? I told you, if you're waiting for a title, I'll give you one. You want me to write it down? I'll write it down. You call yourself whatever you want to call yourself. Amen? Because it's not about that. It's not about that. If you've got five children, and one of them is 4 foot tall, another one is 5 foot tall, one of them is 6 foot tall, one of them is 4'3", listen, and one of them is 3 foot, listen, they're all your children. The tallest one is no better than the smallest one. They're all your children. Won't we wake up to realize that? Won't we stop playing this game that the devil wants us to play that has no power with it? Why don't we start doing what God has called us to do? You see, in the realm of healing, miracles are often received. But they are not the results of the working of miracles. They are the results of healing miracles. Totally different thing. Totally, but it doesn't matter. As long as you get what you need. Everything that God does is miraculous. Everything, in a sense. But it's not the gift of working in miracles, as in the case of turning water into wine just by speaking a word. See, when you can do that, then that is a working of miracles. Once you can call things that be not as if they were and they come about, that's the working of miracles. I can hear you now saying, I can't do that. No. We're going to call somebody. Maybe you'll get a special speaker in here. Well, maybe. Maybe God may send whoever he wants in here, you know, whoever he wants to do. But meanwhile, you've got to live 24-7. Come on, 7 days a week. You got needs. Hallelujah. If we ever get to the place where we become like little children and just stay busy doing what God tells us to do last, listen, and wait for him to tell us to do something different. We'd be out of this box. God is a good God all the time. Water turned into wine by the process of nature. It's a miracle, but it's a natural miracle. God has created that thing to happen that way. But, everybody say but. But water turned into wine by speaking a word, hallelujah, as Jesus did in John chapter 2, is the result of the spiritual gift of the working of miracles. And Jesus said out of his own mouth, greater things will you be able to do. And my question is, when? When? We're going to wait till the rapture, it's too late. I'm convinced that one of the purposes that God has placed us geographically where he's placed us because he wants that environment to change. He wants it to get better, better, better because he's here and he's here through us and he's operating through us. God is a good God all the time. You really don't understand this thing. You really don't understand this thing. I remember at my last church when God placed me there for a reason. And in my capacity as administrator, I had a lot of opportunity to be involved in things. And, you know, I was close to the pastor in an administrative sense. And, you know, he had a good ministry. He had a good anointing on his life. And he would say things like, you know, when I first got there, he said, I need this place to be bigger. He said, I just don't have enough room. And then I just got in prayer and I just said, oh, we can do that. And we start calling that building bigger. And before you know it, the building was bigger. We was able to physically get a bigger building. We just added on to the building. And in the pastor in his talk, and he said, you know, we need a burial site. I want to bury some people on the ground, but we didn't really own the property behind it. So I got to praying about that, and I just said, I said, yeah, we're going to have that property. And before you know it, some guy was coming up to me, and he came up to me because I was the administrator. He said, listen, I got 32 acres of land I want to sell. Hallelujah. But we've already declared that. Amen. So we bought the 32 acres of land from the guy. And then the pastor got really excited. You know, if you know the pastor, you know he was an excited guy, and some of his cohorts was talking about, you know, because of his anointing, you know, you need a brand new church. You need a church building, you know. And he just dropped that in my spirit. And I just said, all right, let it be. When we just called that building in existence. And before you know it, a whole new building was set up. You know, it mathematically and economically, it probably didn't make sense to do some of the things that we did. But when we called them to be, they happen. Amen. Are you with me?
Yes.
They just happen. They just happen. They just happen. I remember when we were living in that first house that we were living in if we got married, right a couple of houses from Soul Saving Station Church. It was a smaller house. We had four kids. And then my dad came to live out with me, Grandpa Joe. He came and it got kind of crowded out there. And then pretty soon I said, look God, we got to have some room. And you know what I did? I went looking. You know how we do, right? I went looking for something I thought would satisfy our needs. And Sister Eva and I found this little place, a little farm, I guess, farmhouse, right? Sister Eva, a little farmhouse. But it had plenty of room. It really had plenty of room, but it was in the wrong place. I didn't know that at the time. It was in the wrong place. And we went to the owner, the lady, and the lady said, yeah, I'll sell you this house. She said, as a matter of fact, here's the key. She said, we're going to work out things a little bit later. And Sister Eve and I went in there. Remember that? We went in there and started cleaning up the place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We were younger. Amen? And we start cleaning up that place and stuff like that. And then all of a sudden, the lady contacted me. And she said, you know what? I changed my mind.
Her son came.
She said, I want to get it to my son. Why didn't you tell me that before I, you know, did all this work? You know, but that was fine. Not a problem. We didn't have no problem. Just gave the lady back her house. But we had already spoken, so we need more room. You know, a house come. And I went and looked at several houses. Hallelujah. I went and looked at one house in Hoskey. And we didn't have a lot of money at the time. But we were looking at the house, and the realtor was telling us the cost of the house. And I had a lot of faith. I had a lot of faith. And I told the realtor, I said, I believe God that you're going to put the down payment on this house. And the realtor looked at me like, why are you wasting my time? You know, if you ain't got no money, what you doing? What you doing? So, but that was us. My point is that that was us in the flesh doing what we thought we had to do, not understanding what we understood now. But we had already called the house in to existence, but we didn't understand that. We really didn't understand that at all. But then one day we was in the hospital. Well, Sister Eva was in the hospital, I think with her mom, I'm not sure, but was and the children. And she came back, she said, I saw a house. She said, I saw a house that we all just liked down in the Husky. I saw the house. You know, this was God operating. And I heard her, you know, and I took that in. But you know what happened the very next day? Another preacher, Brother Maldonado. You remember Brother Maldonado? Brother Maldonado came to my house. He was a preacher. The next day, and he said, you know, Dan, he called me Dan. He's Puerto Rican. He said, Dan, he said, I saw a house. And that house just spoke of you. He said, I think you ought to go see the house. Well, the house was the same house that God had showed Sister Eva. So that was a way of God confirming this was of me. Are you with me? This was of me. See, when you speak a thing, hallelujah, you need to understand who you are so you can make this stuff come about. God is a good God. Hallelujah. So I knew God had already confirmed, hey, you said it. This is it. You said you need a bigger house. This is the one. So go for it. Just go for it. So we went for it. And, you know, we tried to close out that house and, you know, got to the closing. And the guy talking about I got to put so much money down. And, you know, but I said, look, I've already computed this thing. I said, I shouldn't have to put no money to it. They really didn't have any money at the time, you know. And they expected, you know, like any other real estate deal, you know, you're big enough to start the deal. You ought to be big enough to write a check. But it didn't have no check to write. So I told him, I said, no, that's God, because God had told me that the house he's going to give me, I was going to be able to walk in it, and I was not going to have to spend a dime to get in it. God had told me that. So I said, something wrong here with this deal. It wasn't very much that I had to come up with, a few hundred dollars or whatever, but I know God had confirmed it with me that I would not have to spend a dime. So when I told the people I didn't have any money, they looked at me crazy. Here we are at closing, and we're just asking this guy to give a few hundred dollars because of the numbers and stuff. I said, no. I say this is not right. I say, I don't know why it's not right, but I just not going to take this deal. Now, the owner of the house was sitting there. Everybody's sitting there, and they're looking at him saying, I know what they were thinking. They were saying, what did I get myself into? If this guy can't afford a few hundred dollars, but God said, everybody say, God said. So they were very polite to me. They said, Mr. Smith, I tell you what we'll do. He said, you just go on to lunch and you come on back and we'll take a look at these numbers and we'll just see. And the owners just went their way and we all came back about an hour or so later. And they said, well, Mr. Smith, we are sorry. We made a mistake. He said, we made a mistake. He said, you don't owe a dime. As a matter of fact, we got a check here for you. You don't know who you are. Amen. Settling for religion. Hallelujah. The devil wants you to settle for religion. Hallelujah. God's a good God all the time. All, hallelujah. Isn't God good?
Yes, he is.
Another scripture use of the working of miracle was to provide for those that had a need, those that's in want. And I want to share you an example from the Word. I mean, thank God that I share you my little testimony, but I like to tell you right from the Word. I'm going to take you to 1 Kings chapter 17. Hallelujah. This is when God told Elijah to go to this place, and he was going to take care of him. This is after the raven and the brook and all this stuff, and he would send him to a lady that really didn't have very much at all, and this lady was going to feed Elijah. And the story opens up in verse 12. Hallelujah. And the lady said, "As the Lord thy God liveth," because he had already asked her, you know, give me what you got. So let me eat what you got first. And she says, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and not die, and then die." She knew that's all she has. So she said, "We're going to eat this, and then we're going to get in the corner somewhere, and we're going to die." And Elijah said to her, listen what he said. He said, "Fear not. You go and do, come on, as I have said. But first, make me a little cake first, and bring it unto me. And after that," hallelujah, "then make for you and your son." And then listen what he started declaring, verse 14. Listen to this. "For thus said the Lord God of Israel." Listen, if you go do what I tell you to do, "the barrel of meal shall not waste," which means you'll never run out. This lady was about to make a little cornbread or whatever and then die. He said, "Look, you do what I tell you to do, and that meal will never run out." Come on. "Neither shall the cruse of oil fail." It will never run out. Hallelujah. "Until the day that the Lord send rain upon the earth," because they had been in a 3.5-year drought. That's power, folks. He said, "Do what I tell you to do. Listen, you ain't never got to worry about eating again. Never. Never." In verse 15, "And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he in her house did eat many days." Hallelujah. Working of a miracle. Look at verse 16. The end of this little section. "And the barrel of meal wasted not." Didn't run out. "Neither did the cruse of oil fail." According to what? "According to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah." Hallelujah. I believe that the things that I said to my situations was the result of God putting them in my spirit to say, not something I just came up with. But you got to be close to God. Not because of your title, but because you spend time with him. You've got to be close enough where you can recognize God's voice. Hallelujah. You've got to be that close. I could stand on that real estate deal because in my spirit I heard God saying, "You ain't going to have to put a dime on this deal. Just do what I tell you to do." But if you can't hear him, you're going to miss out on that. And then there's a working of miracles in the New Testament. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at them. Hallelujah. Praise them. Come on in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sister Trotter prayed up all these kids, her and Sister Daphne here. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to get you guys the building next door. God is a good God all the time. Listen, these are future preachers and missionaries and whatever, you know. These are future evangelists. Hallelujah. God is a good God all the time. Amen. Well, let me share with you John chapter 6, verse 5 through 13. "When Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great company coming to him, he said unto Philip," talking about those 5,000 men, he said, where should we buy some bread that these people may eat? And this he said to prove them. This he said to prove these disciples, because he knew, for he himself knew what he would do. He heard the Father, come on. So he knew what to say and what to do. "But Philip answered," he answered like you and I would answer, "200 penny worth of bread, $200, $200,000 is not enough. It's not sufficient for all of them to even get a little bit." Verse 8. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, he said this, there is a lad here which has five barley loaves and two small fishes. But what are they among so many people? See, they were thinking in their minds. They were thinking based upon what they saw, what they thought, what their experience in life had told them. But see, you and I got to get out of that mode. God said greater things than he did. Will we be able to do it? You think he was lying? No, he was not lying. It's just that we've got to get to that level of faith by spending that time with him to where we believe it and start walking in this thing. Start believing God. God is a good God all the time. Look what Jesus said in verse 10. He said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in numbers about 5,000. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down. And likewise, the fishes also as much as they would. Hallelujah. I believe, I'm going to paraphrase this. I believe when they brought those little two fishes and five barley loaves to him, I believe when Jesus divided this thing up, I believe Jesus said, be fed. Be fed. Be fed. How are you going to be fed with only five barley loaves and two fishes? Come on. So we don't even understand who this God is. He's the God of all things. In verse 13, that last verse says, therefore they gathered them together and they filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the five barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. So they not only had enough, they had 12 baskets left over. So I think somebody, look, when that flow started, somebody just kept on going and kept on going. You've got power operating through you. And as you listen to God and yield to his voice and do and say what he tells you to do, I believe the working of miracles will manifest themselves in your life, if you can believe it. The working of miracles also was used to confirm the word that was preached. You see, when Paul was preaching in Cyphus, Elymas, the sorcerer, withstood him. Remember Elymas? No, you don't remember Elymas. Paul, through the power of God and the operation of the gift of working of miracles, he struck him blind. Come on, for a season. You got to go back and read that story. I don't read all of that, but listen. He got the anointing to Paul, and Paul struck him blind for a season. That's a lot of power, folks. All of a sudden, somebody say, all right, be blind. And I paraphrase his word because I don't know exactly what he said. But the man was blind for a season because Paul said it. The gift was also used to deliver people from unavoidable danger. Now, this is why you and I should never have to worry about fear. Danger is going to come. It's going to come. You can't avoid it. But that don't mean you have to be fearful when it comes. The Bible says God has not given us the spirit of what? Fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. But this gift, hallelujah, this gift was also used to deliver people from that unavoidable danger. The gift of faith, listen, the gift of faith will carry a person through danger without his being harmed at all. But the working of miracles is different. You know what it do? The working of miracles will change the circumstances altogether that's causing the danger. It'll just do it. The gift of faith will allow you to go through the danger. But the gift of working a miracle will change the cause of the danger. That's a lot of power, folks. That's a lot. That's a lot of power. Don't you dare live, listen, just to be comfortable. Live to do the will of God. Live to do the purpose that God brought you here to planet Earth. Live like a child of God, except you be like a little child. Listen, none of this stuff will come into your life until you get to the place where you say, God, use me. I'm going to just do what you told me to do last, and I'm going to be content until you tell me to do something else. I'm not going to try to make anything happen. But when you tell me to go in a certain direction, that's what I'm going to do. That's when I'm not going to take anything in my own hand or my own power that you don't tell me to do. I'm not. I am not. So many of us work, listen, So many of us work to get rich. And you got to ask yourself, why? There's nothing wrong with being rich. But if you got to be rich at the expense of sacrificing God's purpose for your life. See, because once you get in that purpose for God, that God has for your life, and you start operating that way, you're always going to have more than enough. And that's all you want. Amen. Hello? Listen, when you got more than enough, you can do whatever your heart's desire to do. Amen. All you need is more than enough. If you want to go to Japan, listen, all you got, you'll have enough to go to Japan if you want to go to Japan. That's all you want. That's all. Come on. If you want to go to Captain George's, you have enough. Whatever it is. I laugh at that because that's a private joke between me and Sister Eva. Amen. God's a good, Sister Eva loved Captain George. Amen. That's one of her favorite restaurants and stuff. God is a good God. God is, I heard it. God is a good God. I'm still laughing about that, Sister Eva, about that Captain George thing. You know, we go to Captain George. Now, Captain George is not cheap in my book. And so he said, I'm going to go to Captain George. I said, well, you know, we can go to, go to Skillet. No, go to Corral. We can go to Corral. Eat all you want. Probably $15, $17, $20. Not at Captain George. Amen. And she has to remind me, where's your faith? What you talking about? What are you talking about? And then once I get corrected, we go to Captain George. God is a good God all the time, folks. It's all the time. Hallelujah. Remember when Paul was shipwrecked, the storm didn't stop because it just kind of blew out. No. Paul didn't stand up and say, storm, be stopped. But because God spoke to Paul, what Paul had was a supernatural faith to believe for divine protection. That was a gift of faith in operation. And he received safety for every man on that ship. Amen. Although the ship was lost. However, everybody say however. However, Jesus stood, come on now, on that ship on the Sea of Galilee. Listen, it wasn't his gift of faith. Jesus actually said, peace. We ain't waiting for you to die out. Peace, be still, right now. You know what that did? That didn't change the storm. That changed the very circumstances causing the storm. And that's what you want to do. That's what you want to be able to do. Why are we letting these gifts lie dormant? See, all of them have to be initiated by a word of God. We understand that. That's why it's so important for you and I to put a relationship with God as number one in your life. Why not? You're going to die anyway, unless the rapture comes first. So this thing's going to come to an end anyway, so why not put God as number one priority? God is never going to tell you to neglect your spouse, neglect your children, neglect your responsibility at the job or on your business. He's never going to do that. But he does want to be first. And putting him first, come on now, will put you in a position where you uniquely hear him giving you directions. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God is a good God. The difference between the gift of faith and the working of miracles is that the gift of faith receives a miracle. Hallelujah. And the working of miracles actually works a miracle. That's the two different things. And we need to understand that they exist. Hallelujah. God is a good God all the time. The working of miracle is used to display God's power and his magnificence. He wants to use that through you. But it starts with you believing that it exists and that God can use you. In his best-selling book, Question and Answers on Spiritual Gifts, this guy named Howard Carter said that the working of miracles is actually the mighty power of God flowing through a person. Amen. That's a good feeling, folks. It's a good feeling. It's really a good feeling. When that thing starts operating in your life, everything becomes new for you. We might say that the individual participates in the same power, hallelujah, the same power of God that was in manifestation when God created the world. The same power that he used to create the world, hallelujah, let me just say this slowly, is now in us. It's in us. Our number one responsibility is to get close and stay close to God. Amen? It doesn't matter what folks think about you. Hallelujah. Amen. Really, just, you know, you got to get past that. Because the devil will use people to keep your mind so focused on what people are saying about you and because of you that you'll be intimidated. Put God first in your life. Put him first in your life. Establish a regular time for your prayer time. Establish a regular time for you getting into the Bible and reading and studying and memorizing things that apply to your life, you know, meditating on those things. Get to the point where you really, really believe God and then start living it and realize that that's the only thing that matters. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We want to say a general prayer just right now before we dismiss everybody in a minute. But if you've got any kind of sickness, any kind of pain in your body, I want you just to stand. Anything that needs to be corrected by God supernaturally, because you've done everything you can in the natural. If you want God to touch your body or your mind, maybe you got some issues with your mind, I don't know. Just stand if that's you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just stand. Hallelujah. 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 Father God, in the name of Jesus, we know that sickness and disease is not part of your plan for your people. Now we touch and agree, Lord God, through the power of faith in you, Lord God, that any sickness, any disability, Lord God, that your people are experiencing in their minds or their body, we call it gone. Supernatural. We decree and declare that they've had it long enough. And right now we call them free. Free to serve you. We call them healed. 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 From the top of their head to the bottom of their feet. Father, right now, let them receive it. Let them receive it. Let them receive it. In Jesus' name. If you receive it, say, I receive it. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Everybody else, please stand. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The working of miracles. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. That's Jesse. That's Pentecostal Jesse. Hallelujah, Jesse. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you for your people. We call them blessed spiritually, socially, financially, and physically. As we go our separate ways, Lord, we go holding on to your word, Lord God. Speak to us individually, Lord God, hallelujah, about what changes we need to make in our lives. If there's anybody within the sound of my voice who have not received Jesus Christ as Lord in their life, Lord God, we loose a spirit of salvation. Let them receive it. Let them receive it. Let them realize, Lord God, that they can receive it anywhere, anytime. Hallelujah. When they're ready, we call them saved. Now, Lord God, let your people go and let them be blessed.